Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And as you know, every moment has within it the seeds of a love letter to someone, appreciation, a thank you, an invitation into your life, a really compassionate invitation out of your life. It all counts. Your truth put to paper in the most loving, compassionate way, that counts. That's what a love letter is, by my lights. Today's guest is someone I frankly don't know how I got this far in life without having met her, but I am glad to say I finally have. Her name is Toby Klayman. She is a San Francisco working artist. Is that the best way to say?
Good.
And I say San Francisco because you've been here for so long, but I don't know who gets to claim people. Can you just talk about, you mentioned earlier that you were raised in a really exceptional way. Can you just talk about you from the start?
Well,
when you say that, what is it,
Janet?
You mean?
You know, I actually have to tell you that I feel like I'm also an artist that's Greek.
Okay.
Because I lived in Greece off and on for 25 years.
What made that be your choice?
What happened was I had an unusual upbringing. My parents wanted to cultivate me. I was raised in an incredibly gorgeous part of the United States. A small town north of Boston,
mm-hmm.
and with dogwood trees and lilac bushes. My mother had an enormous amount of land,
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, when I was 16, my mother told my father, my daughter has to see the world, and they sent me to Europe with a chaperone and four other women.
Oh,
it was a woman who was a dean at LaSalle Junior College, and she took four girls, mm-hmm. to Europe for the summer. And that was when I saw how big the world was, mm-hmm. and how fantastically interesting it was.
Now, can you say what year this was, just out of...
This was exactly 1952, before I entered my undergraduate.
Okay.
I was 16 when I entered college.
The reason I'm asking is just it's kind of interesting now, because the world has changed enormously. It was different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was 16 when I entered college, and I had already been to Florence, to Paris, to London, to Rome, to... But I hadn't been to Greece, and I was kind of disappointed about that. Later on, I made about 40 trips to Greece,
wow.
and I also rented a home there for about 25 years.
Mm.
So that's why, and I love Greece, and I have family and friends and many roots there.
Oh, you have family there also?
Well, I consider
people who
my,
are family
I
now.
I consider
yes.
my the three sisters, the
uh-huh.
three women
uh-huh.
who adopted me. Sophia Aspasia and Chris So.
Oh, and Aspasia is in many of your
and
works.
And so is Sophia.
Oh, yes, of course.
I have many portraits of
yes.
Sophia and Aspasia. But I have a representation of the small village where my house was on the south coast of Crete in my studio
yeah.
on very many.
We're going to talk about the studio
yeah,
in a minute.
Very many of my works.
What was growing up like? Then?
What happened was my parents cultivated me to make a good match.
From the time you were
From
really young?
From the time I was a little girl, mm-hmm. I played the Bach 2- and 3-part inventions
oh.
on the stage, on the piano. I owned two horses, and my parents had a ring in the back of our home.
Oh, so it wasn't
horses.
just expectations. They raised you to be the kind of young woman who would attract.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to college. And I went to Brandeis University, and guess who my teachers were? Abram Maslow, Leonard Bernstein,
mm-hmm.
Max Lerner,
wow.
all these people who wanted me to learn how to think.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a sculptor. I entered as a French
lit
major.
What was the crossover that took you to school?
I entered as a French lit major. I was so good in French in high school that I tutored the other students. I was very good with languages because I started with Latin
mm-hmm.
in elementary school.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, the teacher was
that
very
was
fierce.
Private
oh,
school?
By the way, no, public.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My Latin teacher was very fierce. My piano teacher was fierce. I had to practice in her attic, and she had a clicker, Mrs. Robinson,
uh-huh.
Cecilia Robinson.
Uh-huh.
Imagine that. I'm almost 80, and I remember
yes,
that
I can
woman's
see that.
Name.
And you're laughing now.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
she was mean. But this is what happened. as a teacher, as an art professor, I have never been a mean professor.
Oh,
and
good.
I think it's because of my piano teacher when I was 6, 7, and 8 years old trying to figure out how to play Bach.
Yes.
Because she was nasty. She was unforgiving. It was
so you knew the
brutal.
Pain of that, but, you know, it's possible you just don't have a mean spirit.
Maybe.
Yeah, so you're a generous
human
being.
Well, this is the thing. This year's art, if you don't like it, wait till next year. You may do something absolutely extraordinarily that you love.
Yeah.
You can't cut somebody.
Oh, good.
You can't cut a vein when somebody's trying to get a flow going, and that's always been my philosophy of teaching.
So let's move along to how you ended up teaching.
So what happened was... my second year in college, I was just about 18, and I took a sculpture course, and that's when I realized I was home.
Oh, okay.
That was the
That you were wired for.
That was the end.
Yes.
Goodbye, ankle straps.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Goodbye, cha-cha-cha up at the student union.
Uh-huh.
Hello, khaki skirt. Hello, man's white shirt. Hello, wheelbarrow full of cement.
So you found a real new identity. And how was that with your parents? Your shift and your goal and your worldview?
I let them down.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
I disappointed them. They were blown away.
How did they express that?
Well, when I came home, when I was in my second year of college, a fellow at Harvard started a program to volunteer at a local mental hospital and so that patients wouldn't just sit around all day.
Oh, so you taught art?
And so this fellow started it at his school at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke, I think, I can't remember the name of the, wasn't Dunster House, I can't remember where. And then at my school, Brandeis, I started it. And I began a program at my school where we had keys to certain wards, and we could go and play the guitar, or we could buy somebody a clean pair of socks, or we could take them from their rocking chair to go get a cup of coffee or a soft drink. And that was when my parents got really angry.
Were they?
And they stopped my allowance. I'm answering your question.
That's serious.
Yeah, they stopped my allowance. It was $50 a month in 1954. And so I began typing to earn my spending money. And then when I graduated from college, I was 20. And my parents were very upset because I had let go of the ankle straps and I was coming home and I was a sculptor.
Were they in some way afraid for your safety and security in the world?
I was sculpting.
While you're going your own route?
I was sculpting in pure white Portland cement, and I was not socializing the way they wanted me to. I disappointed them. They actually had somebody lined up for me to marry.
Oh.
And it wasn't somebody I was very interested in. I don't think he was interested in me.
That's often how it goes.
The parents were best friends, and there was a lot of money involved. And so, my parents, the thing about it that's interesting is my grandfather actually invented the alarm clock.
My goodness.
And he, not the clock, the alarm clock.
Yes, yes.
And he invented the wax milk carton.
And my, I don't know why I'm laughing. Somebody has to invent these things. Yeah, you just don't think about
it. And my grandmother kept telling my mother and father, she's just like, your father, she's very creative, she's not somebody you can control and manage. You have to let her do what she's suited for.
Isn't that lucky?
You have to remember that I had piano behind me, and also my parents encouraged me to think for myself.
Yes.
And then the whole faculty insisted I think for myself. But when I came home, I was supposed to obey.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
Yes. Sometimes you teach your children what you want them to learn, and it turns around to take a form that you didn't count on.
It did not work.
Yes. But, you know, when you talk about they raised you to find a suitable match, you did. You found art, and your whole life
That's
is your
correct.
Suitable match.
That's correct. There is no question about my destiny was to be an artist.
So what was your next step after that?
Well, my next step was to move away from home. And as a BA in fine art and literature, you have no skills for a job.
What'd you do?
And so, let's see, my first my first job. It wasn't very interesting. I worked at that mental hospital where I had volunteered as like a little research assistant, but the environment was too depressing.
But you were able to take care of yourself and support yourself.
Yes, and it was a struggle. And then I got a job. I volunteered at a travel agency, and I have a fantastic memory. And within 6 months, I was asked to manage that small agency because I can remember like airport codes and all that. I never had to look anything up more than twice.
So, and were you working as an artist also all this time?
I was trying, but with 40 hours a week, it's almost impossible to do much more than squeeze it in.
Now, did you have a social life? Did you get married?
Well, I was very immature, and I was very I dated, but I was very afraid of relationships, and I never got any information from my parents about how to act exactly with relationships, but I did have a few boyfriends and dates and things, this is what happened to me when I was 20. I graduated from college, and I tried to fit into my parents' mold, but it didn't work, and I moved away from home. Against their wishes, I moved.
Far away?
Well, Boston, Harvard Square, and I tried to do my life on my own, and believe it or not, I met a fella, and he moved in for a weekend, and I got pregnant.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was not white, and I was petrified.
Oh, that your parents would be.
That my parents would kill me. That would be a safe bet. I then thought, maybe they're going to lock me up. Because a lot of wealthy people were known to...
To put the children away if they behaved in a way that didn't reflect what the parents...
But the thing was this. I was not a believer. I actually had my daughter, but I didn't marry her dad. And I gave my daughter up for adoption. And I didn't tell anyone in the family. I went away and hid. This was in 1963. My daughter will be 53 on the 5th of April. And so because the boy was black. Did I tell you that? He was a pro football player, retired. All the girls were after him. I met him at Hayes Bickford Coffee Shop in Harvard Square, and he was crazy about me.
I could see why, and this sounds like a prize both ways.
This is fantastic. Yeah. But I was very naive, and I didn't even know what birth control was. Never mind, did I use it? Yeah. It was true, too. And so I went away and hid, and I had my daughter. And a couple of friends.
Did he know about it?
Yes. Oh, I told him. He said, "I'll marry you. Oh, let's get married." I'm like, "I don't even know you. I can't do that." So anyway, he helped me a little bit financially because, of course, I had to stop working.
Sure.
I was working in a travel agency. No one ever knew I was pregnant. By the time it was getting to show, I went away and hid. And I went to a Crittenden home in Brookline, Mass. And they were fantastic.
So you had some place good to have the baby and help.
Well, they arrange everything. Sure. They have a ward in the they had a ward in the hospital in Boston, the Boston Lying-in Hospital. And I had my baby there, and after 5 days I gave her up, which was very
Was that just heartbreaking?
High. Oh, it was horrible. This is something I don't like to talk about a lot, but I am a birth mother. There were 1.5 million women in that period of time that got caught.
Yes.
And this was the thing. I did not believe in abortion. Mm-hmm. It was a seed. It was planted. Mm-hmm. And boom, you cannot. Mm-hmm. In my life, there was no place for an abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not judgmental about other women. Sure. I know many men and women that...
Yes. And it wasn't so easy to do or on the land... escape anyway.
Yes, it was. I had friends in Harvard Square who said, you can go to Mexico, you can go to, I think it was Norway, Denmark.
Oh, but you had
know.
To, it was hard.
Yeah,
you had
I
to
wasn't
going to right.
do anything. Right. And but I wouldn't anyway. Yeah. So I had a little baby girl. I kept her 5 days in the Crittenden home, and I went to a Jewish agency. They arranged for a Jewish agency, and the agency said they already had parents that mm-hmm. wanted mm-hmm. a child from a Jewish mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they said she would be adopted right away, and I gave her up. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm telling you is because that's what got me to California.
Oh.
Because, you see, since my family didn't know about it, they were still trying to fix me up.
Oh.
No one knew I had had mm-hmm. a child. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready to
yes.
date anybody. Mm-hmm. I was suffering and mm-hmm. struggling with what had happened to me. And I wanted to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here to visit a fellow I knew who was a doctor. He was a Harvard student I had met. Not a date.
Mm-hmm.
And he put me up for 3 weeks in San Francisco. I borrowed the money for the bus ticket. It was $99 round trip, Greyhound. And I came here, and believe it or not, the Maxwell Gallery
oh.
saw my watercolors. And the guy, David McKee, said, your work is fascinating. And he said, I told him, you know, anyway, he ended up showing them. And I had been teaching a little bit art in mm-hmm. Boston, and anyway, I moved here. I thought, well, I have a gallery that likes me. Mm-hmm. And the Vorpal Gallery loved my work. And the Atherton Gallery loved my work. Well, I have my work in 3 galleries.
So you shot right to the top when you
I
got
came,
here. This is great.
But they didn't sell anything. Oh. They had masterworks. They mm-hmm. had their Picassos and oh. their Paul Klees and all that. But they liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 31.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job typing at Kelly Girl.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And 6 months later, and the Maxwell Gallery manager said, if you just tell the schools that you have work in my gallery, it'll help you get a teaching job because I admire your watercolors. I had a suitcase full, and I put them on his mahogany desk, and he had this big clean desk, and he said, it's fantastic. I will handle your work. I'll give you the middle room. I'll show 15 of your watercolors.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy 2. None of them will sell because you're unknown. But you tell those people we're handling you. You'll get a teaching job. Mm-hmm. I believe in your work. I was 31.
Yeah. And you did get a teaching
that
job.
That was 49 years ago.
Yes.
Or 47, yeah. 48 and yeah. a half years ago. And 6 months after that, I got my foot in the door
at
City College.
And that's where you've been teaching
29
for, oh,
years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wondered how you got there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll tell you, but my telling you about my daughter is for you to know why I'm not in Boston.
Yes,
because my
yes,
entire
yes.
family, every yes. cousin, every
now,
aunt.
Now, did you get in touch with them? I mean, they knew where you were in California?
Oh, everybody knew. My grandmother
oh, okay.
came to see where
oh,
I was. Yes,
okay.
it was just I moved.
Yes,
Toby
I understand
moved.
That. Right, yes.
Toby moved because there are flowers at Christmas.
Yes, okay.
You know, and Toby had 3 galleries.
Now, did
Toby
you,
moved.
Did you,
I moved.
Did you know during all these years where your daughter was? Or?
I never knew where she was, and I signed a paper
mm-hmm.
That I would not find her. In those days,
that's
it was
right.
sealed
yes.
tight.
Yes.
Okay.
But could children look for their parents in those
well,
days?
Anybody can look for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't do anything, and it was a very bad period mm-hmm. for me. And I stayed with my work. I stayed with my teaching, and my shows were
mm-hmm.
rave reviews. Mm-hmm. I had tremendous.
I'm sitting here in the middle of all this
very
work.
Very much
I can
luck
see.
With
yes.
my work. Al Frankenstein loved my work, and Tom Albright loved. They're both
mm-hmm.
dead now,
mm-hmm.
but they loved my work. I had very, very good. When people say how much they like my work or whatever, I
mm-hmm.
say, you know, always there are reasons for everything. There was a lot of pain on the other side of things.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's how life is. You, what you see is not what you're getting with people.
That's
always,
right. That's
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now when somebody says a racist remark, I say to them, I have a black daughter and a black husband.
Mm-hmm.
So watch what you're talking. Watch who you're talking to. You know, we don't like people
mm-hmm.
like you. You
right.
need to be trained and educated.
Yeah.
you know.
Yes.
I call you a racist, and you need to sit down, and we need to discuss this problem.
How nice of you to offer that.
Yes, because you have to educate people. This is part of the job of changing people, is telling them, you want to meet a beautiful human being, I'll introduce you to my daughter and my husband, and then we'll go from there.
So you're saying, okay, so you're married to Joe.
That's coincidentally, he's my daughter's color. He's my daughter's race, coincidentally.
Oh, okay, but I mean, so how did you meet Joe? I've only
been with him since I was 56.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's already a nice long time.
Oh, yeah, we're solid, but I'm just saying, I was here, and I was...
How did you meet Joe?
On Mission Street at a coffee shop.
Nice. Yes.
And he had a bad marriage.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's also a wonderful artist.
Wonderful artist, yeah.
So, and you say you want to introduce people to your husband and your daughter.
Well,
so
I'm just saying, if you if you don't have any friends who are African-American and you're a racist, then
You did mention your daughter, so you know where...
Okay, well, I will answer you just briefly about my daughter.
If you feel like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I met my daughter. I found my daughter.
Oh, okay.
I did not look for my daughter until she was almost 21 because I signed a paper saying that I had given her up.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes. So you found
legally.
Her. That's wonderful.
And when she was 20, she found me. She got my letter waiting for her.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of love letters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happened was I wrote a letter to the court.
Mm-hmm.
And asked them to waive my anonymity if she ever looked for me.
Okay.
That was letter one.
Yes.
Inside letter one was letter two, and that was a letter to her apologizing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And it was telling her how I regretted what I had done and that there was no way to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some things in life you do. You have an A road and a B road, and you cannot only choose one. You can't go down A and B.
Right.
And I chose a road, and then my life changed, and there was no taking it back. I had a way to take care of her. I was away from the family that I thought would be too judgmental.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was afraid of my mother and father.
Sure.
It wasn't just of their judgment.
Yes.
And so I wrote those two letters and mailed them, and I waited 7 years later. She went looking for me after her other mother died.
Oh.
Her adopted mother died. She was bereft and lonely. And she was 27, and she went to the courthouse. All the records for Massachusetts family are held in Salem, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the courthouse. She made an appointment with a judge.
Mm-hmm.
The judge was Mary Manzi. And Mary Manzi interviewed my daughter. Why do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
And she quizzed my daughter, and she said, I'll go open the file and look at it and see what it's about. She unsealed the file, and it was the Clayman baby file, born April 5th, 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And my two letters were there.
Oh, my goodness. And when we talk about letters being life-changing, this is huge.
So she said to my daughter... So I'm writing a book about this.
Oh, good.
A birth mother book, but maybe you can help me write it someday.
I'd love to.
It's too hard on me.
I have a thought.
Yeah, okay.
We can
think about it. Okay, so this is what happened. The judge said to my daughter, there is a letter from your birth mother to you, but it might be bad news.
Oh.
I will not give you this letter, but... You have choices. You can go get your best girlfriend and bring her back.
Oh, so she'd have some support with her.
And then you can have the letter. You can call your therapist and get your therapist.
Oh, so that was a wise thing to do.
Or you can sit down and I'll open it and read it to you.
You talk, because I'm just going to sit here and cry.
And so my daughter said, I'm going to sit down and you read me the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And she read, the judge read the daughter my apology. My daughter said, yes, a warm thing came through her whole body when she heard the letter, that she had been loved,
yes,
and that I had to do what I had to do, yes, and that I regretted it from the minute I did it.
Mm-hmm.
See, my life changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now, who am I afraid of? So you asked me whether
again.
I found my daughter,
yes,
and she had my phone number, and she called me, and she left me a message on my machine. I was in Greece when she called.
Your heart must have just
I was in Greece
exploded.
When she called.
Yes.
So I have the tape right on my pastel bench.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the tape. My daughter, you know, I have had many miracles in my life. This
yes.
is, you know, the art one is
so
one. And
so your mother and daughter again.
Yeah, oh
yes.
yeah. I mean, this is the thing that,
yes.
This is what happened. She called. And I she called and I wasn't home. She left a message. And when I got home from Greece late at night, my friends brought me from the airport late at night.
Mm-hmm.
I did my laundry and then I thought I'll listen to my messages.
Mm-hmm.
All my messages. Oh, Roberta, hi there. We want to have a luncheon to welcome you home. I had been in Greece a month.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there, Toby. This message, that message,
mm-hmm.
last message on my machine. Somebody says to me, my name is Sue Harris. You don't know me.
Oh, my.
But you gave birth to me. And I just got your letter.
I wish this, see, this is why I needed, this is why I needed television moments so people could see this look on your face.
I just got your letter.
Oh, my. Yes.
And I'm listening to the message.
Did you just listen again and again?
And it said, here's my number at home.
Yes.
I'm writing it down.
Yes.
Here's my girlfriend Mary's number because I'm going to go over there later. Call me. So that was how I found my daughter.
Oh,
and it's been, I found my daughter when she was 27 and she's, let's see, she's going to be 53 next week.
Oh, how lucky she is to have you.
Yeah,
oh.
And it was like we talked on the phone, you know, she asked me, do you have big breasts and gorgeous legs?
Oh, because she does?
Yes, I have big breasts, gorgeous legs.
Yes.
And she said, do you like paper and china the same amount? Like, I said, what do you mean?
Oh.
She said, I mean, do you like fine china or do you like paper plates? Do you like them both the same? I said, I like them both the same.
Well, how interesting, because paper and china are your two, I mean, each is an important medium for you.
But it, yeah,
my
I
goodness.
Mean, it was like...
And just to say at that point, because Toby has an enormous line of hand-painted ceramics.
And all of my drawings and watercolors
paper.
And serigraphs. And,
so
that's the daughter
she
story.
Uh-huh.
She lives in Boston, and she was raised in my hometown.
Oh, okay.
She was raised in my hometown.
This is just exceptional.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's about the daughter.
Yes.
Now, right now, she's a social worker. Her expert is transracial adoption. She was adopted by a white family, and she was in a family with six siblings. Mm-hmm. There were three adopted.
So was that a nice upbringing for her?
I think it was a wonderful upbringing.
Oh, good.
But let's say that they did a fantastic job on her. Yeah, they did. She's a gorgeous creature, and she's genetically speaking just like me.
Oh, how nice.
She can't stop working, and she's good at it, and she's a fantastic girl. She's just fantastic. Yeah.
So you look at each other and you can see that.
Yes. There's no question if you saw her. Everything, the mannerisms, the whole bit. You know, it's like I see you. I've met your two daughters.
Yes.
There's no question.
Yes.
They're your daughters. You know?
Oh, I'm so happy to hear
your
story.
Your daughters are so gorgeous.
I think
so. And I have a gorgeous daughter.
Oh, nice.
I didn't raise her. And she's very much in love with my husband, so that's she has a wonderful husband too.
Good.
She's been married a little over 10 years, and he's a white boy, but we don't mind. I remember when she was when he first asked her out for coffee, we were in Greece, and she called me and she said, the fellow who owns my gym, he's a little older than me, and he wants me to go out for coffee. What do you think? And I said, well, it's not a wedding proposal, is it? It's just a coffee.
Yeah.
And so I said, sounds wonderful. She says, I hope you don't mind that he's white.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, I'm white too.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? How much could you mind?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's been really fascinating.
I can
to,
see that.
To get to know her, because in the beginning, of course, there was some friction and there was tension because, you know, the thing about the birth mother, you're in the middle, you know.
Yes.
You're the one who did the nasty to not stay with the plan. And I regret terribly, like I regret beyond my ability to express it, that I did not insist she learn Latin.
Yes.
And insist she learn French. Yes. And insist she ride a horse.
Although, you know, time...
Because, you see, I had a phenomenal, phenomenal
upbringing. But she's got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I mean, it's like I missed out. I feel, you know, I mean, she got a very, very good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents were white. And that was a problem. And that's why her field is so important,
mm-hmm,
because a little little African-American girl with mixed-race parents raised by a white family, she doesn't learn the racism problem until later. Then she finds out the boy she dates doesn't want her to meet his mom.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Yeah, still.
And she didn't learn. That's why her field is so critical.
Yes,
that
of course.
She's teaching enormous amount of people, and she has a book out already, and she does.
What's the name of her book?
I'll give you a copy of her book,
but tell us the name so if people want to go find it. If people Google you,
go to harrisnarratives.com.
Okay, and what about your work? Is there someplace
let me
people
just
could
tell
go
you
online?
That's why I got
let's
this.
Do this because
yes, my work is several places. So first, you go to claimantart.com.
Claymann.
ART.com.
Yes,
but you have to go to Claimant Studio on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Claimant Studio on Facebook. Oh, that's perfect because I found you on Facebook.
Yeah, you have to go to claimantart.com on Facebook too.
Okay. I just wanted to know where people could get a sample
but
of
I
your
want,
work.
But I want, you can go to Pinterest.
Okay.
Because I have art for sale on my Pinterest.
Aren't you just up with everything for somebody
I
who...
I am.
Yes.
No, I
that's
am.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. You're
I
just
put the computers in the
be.
Fort Mason Art Center
did
before
you?
I retired.
Okay.
All the faculty were angry about it, too. Why do we need computers?
Uh-huh.
They said.
Oh, you're just a miracle. I want to thank you for doing this with me. Will you come back
Are
and
we
we'll talk
done?
About something else sometime? Can, will you? Because
yes,
we're, you know, just
of
for
course.
This. And I think this is just... rich enough for now for people to listen to. Let's get together again and talk about another aspect of your life, like your work and putting
I wanted to talk about my work, but you asked me about my daughter.
Well, I did, but can we just do another one?
Of
another
course.
Love letters?
Of
oh,
course.
Thank you, Toby. I am so glad I met you. I am just going to put...
I'm one of the 1.5 million women that is a birth mother.
Yes. Okay. I want to say
this
something quick about
critical,
that.
This is a critical... problem for 1.5 million women, and a lot of them haven't found their child.
Yes.
And a lot of them, the child says, the hell with you. I don't want to know anything about you now. Do you understand?
I do. I do.
When I had a coach help me when I was writing an inventory about this, she told me how lucky you are your body had a baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was another point of view I hadn't thought of. I mean, I don't think a woman isn't a whole woman unless she's had a baby. I mean, my Aunt Sylvia never gave birth to a baby, and she was
incredible. A lot of people don't. A lot of,
What? But that was quite a charming, gracious thing to say to me when I was sitting there crying because I was telling her about my daughter.
Yes.
People can be very kind.
Yes.
But people can be stinkers, too.
Yes, they can. Yes.
You know, it's like people can be stinkers if you're in a wheelchair. People can be stinkers if you're black. If you're a birth mother, they can be a stinker. And that's what I've tried to teach my daughter since I met her. It's not just about you're a black girl. Or you're a light-skinned black
girl. Well, I'm glad you said that, because most of the time when people are stinkers, they're really not doing it to you. They're doing it from them.
They are
ignorant. They have a need to... Yes.
They are unhappy.
Yes.
And you're the butt of their unhappiness.
Yes.
So you have to be charitable, but you need to educate.
Yes. Okay. Good for you, and thank you.
Yeah, you have to educate.
Yes.
Like, just to be an artist... People don't understand. If you don't have a 9-to-5 and you don't get a check every Friday, what are you doing? You must be nuts. You have to educate people that the world needs art.
Yes. And I think times have changed significantly, though, too.
Then I'll give you a piece. That's how the artist has to produce in that kind of way.
Yes. Thank you. All right, I'm going to talk to you again very soon. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye and just say goodbye.
Toby Clayman.
Saying we'll talk to you again
soon. I just was
soon.
Attacked by this woman.
I did. I just
so
dragged
adorable.
Her over to the microphone.
Completely adorable.
I didn't want you to just sit back and relax yet. We're not quite done saying goodbye.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, dear. We'll talk again.
Do you
again.
Know what day this is? Do you tell everybody what day it is?
No, because this is forever.
Well, you don't say when we recorded it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't.
Okay, you don't put the
date.
No,
but you know what? I don't put the date, but you said enough about when you were 16 and it was 1952 and you just said that you were, you know,
well, the
48
day we're
years
talking,
later. Yeah, so
the day we're talking is an important day too. This is the day you're documenting part of my story.
Oh, well, then if you'd like to go ahead.
It's good
you can
to
say it.
That we're in March 24 in 2015.
Okay, if that's important to you to say it, then by all means. Okay, thank you then.
This is when we're doing
it. Okay. Oh, and you know, you're right. I've got to say, because one of the things that I talk about all the time, when people write love letters and they don't put a date on it, it makes me nuts.
Well, the thing is, because I'm not 80 yet, you
see.
I won't hit 80 until July. So.
Okay.
This is kind of
my
70 to 80 period.
Well, you know what? That's an important point that you made. I actually appreciate that because you should document when you say certain things, because when you go back and read that letter in 40 years, you're going to want to know when it was you felt that way.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just learned a little something extra today. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
okay.
Because tomorrow will be different.
Yes.
Not my story about my daughter.
No. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for this all. I'm going to just get back to you very quickly. Until next time, again, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye for now.